Well, good day to you all. My name is Peter Keir. I'm the CEO of T4 Solutions, for those of you who don't know me. I'm joined today by two colleagues. One is Bill Bruno, who's our Deputy CEO, and the other one is Nitil Patel, who's our interim CFO. We're going to go through the presentation that we've got that we've issued, and there will be an opportunity for questions at the end of the presentation. So without more ado, as you know, T4 Solutions, I'm Peter Keir. Quick overview on the company. We're not a new company, been around since 1995, listed originally on the London Stock Exchange in 1997, and we're originally known as a systems integrator, integrating back office systems with things like intranets, extranets, etc. Really went through the dot-com boom and bust in the late 90s and 2000s, came out the other end and really started looking where we could add some value and get into a market that would be more tolerant of any recessionary scenarios like the dot-com bust. We focused eventually on the data and analytics market, and we started working with two companies in the early 2000s. One was SAS, the largest privately owned software company in the world, specializing in analytics. And the other one was a company at the time called Speedtrap. They more latterly became Celebrus Technologies. And Celebrus had an interesting technology that collected customer interaction data from digital channels. And at the time, it's really very web-focused. We worked with Celebrus and SAS for a number of years, and eventually it led to us purchasing Celebrus in 2015. Really, we've not looked back since that point. Our whole focus of the company and subsequent to our name change was all about the data. And we'll talk a little bit about the Celebrus product set shortly. But really, just talking about the highlights for 2020-2021, the Celebrus product family now accounts for some 81% of our total sales, and that's software and services. And we've been driving our business towards more of a recurring revenue business over the last few years. And in fact, in the period that we're reporting on, we've now driven that recurring revenue, that annual recurring revenue rate, up to some 47% of sales, which equates to £10.6 million of revenue. The way we go to market is via strategic partners. And the reason for that is our data collection technology is all about collecting real-time every single interaction from digital touch points. And a number of our partners require that very, very granular, detailed, first-party real-time data to enable a lot of their software products. So the likes of Pegasystems, the likes of SAS, the likes of Teradata, et cetera. Our customer base is very much enterprise quality, enterprise class, as you'll see there from some of the headline logos. And we focus very, very heavily on financial services. They really started using first-party real-time data very much earlier than anyone else. But we've also seen a lot of interest and, in fact, customers coming to us from the telco side of the space, insurance, retail, and more latterly, healthcare. If we move on to the second slide four. T4 Solutions is a specialist in data platforms. As I alluded to in the first slide, we collect data, or we collect customer data from any digital touchpoint. And we bring that data into an environment and we merge it with either existing data that the customer has in their environment, maybe about historical interactions that they've had with customers, it might be about their credit scores, etc. And we then streamline that data, we turn it into something that's actionable, and we feed that out really to any platform that requires that data. So whether they need it for decisioning or customer experience, to understand the customer's identity for marketing and advertising, and more latterly for fraud, risk, and compliance. And Bill will talk a little bit more about that as we move forward. Really, in terms of delivering on our strategic objectives, we've stated that we wanted to increase the revenue from our Celebrus family of products, which I think you can see that we've been successfully doing. We wanted to transition to an annual recurring revenue model by the 23-24 timeframe, which obviously we're well on the way to that now with some 47% of annual recurring revenue. We wanted to increase and extend our international expansion. As you may have seen, we've opened offices quite recently in the Asia-Pac region, in fact, in Australia. And also, we wanted to invest in the next generation of Celebrus products. And I'm not sure whether you've seen it, but we've obviously just launched our fraud data platform on June the 15th, which Bill will cover for you a little later in the presentation. In terms of operational highlights, we signed in the period under review new customer contracts from UK, Europe, Middle East, North America, and PacRim in both financial services and consumer organisations, which is our traditional heartland, but also in telco and in the US health industry. We've also extended our existing client relationships, and for those of you who know us, we've always operated a land and expand methodology, which means we get into an organisation maybe collecting data from their web channel or their mobile channel, and maybe in one geography, and then we expand as the customer realises they can make a lot of return and money from our data. They want to extend and expand, increase the channels, extend the geographic reach, and also how many different channels they work on. We've also got a number of multiple third-party integration adapters which allow us to feed that data into many, many places. We've, over the last year, built and enhanced our relationships with our existing partners like Teradata SaaS and Pegasystems. And also we've been having a number of early conversations with new partners for our fraud data platform, and we were very pleased on the 15th of June to announce that we had a partnership with Quantexa, with SAS, and with Teradata already organized and aligned. As I mentioned earlier, the sale of software products and services now make up 81% of total revenues, and we also extended our customer data platform products with our first-party identity graph features and also our profile builder, which again Bill will touch on when we talk a little bit more about the product. And of course, we launched our fraud data platform for detecting payment, account opening, and a remote account takeover fraud in real time. I've got a little problem here with my machine. It's decided to go wrong. Financial highlights.
Hi, I'm Nitin Patel, Interim CFO for D4T4. Just give you an overview, as Pete said, we concentrate on a few key metrics for us. One of them is obviously revenue growth, annual recurring revenue, margin, dividend growth, cash generation, are critical for us to have financial stability, to make sure that the core innovation of the group continues and we can internally invest from our existing cash resources. For FY21, revenue grew on a standard 4.6%. There's another slide coming on later which shows you that on a constant currency basis, we actually grew by 8.6%, which is a good achievement, especially in light of the conditions that most companies faced in the last year. Annual recurring revenue, as we said, is a key metric that grew 11% to 10.6 million, now representing circa 47% of revenue going forward. Gross profit margin, again, a key metric for us to control because the increase in the gross profit margin feeds quite nicely into the bottom line, and that increased as well to 62.4 as we increased our Celebrus family product sales. Adjusted profit before tax. The adjustments are four. There's a share-based payment adjustment, a foreign exchange adjustment, which I'll explain as well in more detail later. There's a amortization of intangibles and a small exceptional charge this year. So from that 4.45, the other metric that we're really keen on is cash generation, where we continue to generate sufficient cash to have a strong balance sheet and a strong cash flow that allows us to continue our investment strategies, targeted investment. Overall, the group ended with cash at 14.24, which was a good sign of growth in the company. Over on slide 9, you'll see the kind of metrics that are the graphs and growth of revenue, ARR, gross profit margin, adjusted profit before tax, as I've explained. AAR is really important to us, as we've mentioned. As the split on the pie chart shows, the support and maintenance and product and IP growth is increasing and becoming a bigger part of AAR, which gives us stronger visibility and stability of revenues as we move forward. And this is a key area that we'll be focusing on with our new product, FDP, which Bill will explain further in the presentation. If you look at the income statement on page 11, I think what I'd like to highlight is obviously three or four main aspects on it. Admin expenses have increased as OPEX has been markedly increased from 8.3 million to 11.1. And I'll explain that further in slide 12. The effective tax rate, again, is low at 10%, and this reflects the R&D tax credits and patent box claims that we can make in the UK government's tax regime. And we anticipate an element of this effective rate to slightly increase over the coming years, just to reflect the corporation tax moving to 23% in the UK, and we're waiting to see the impact of the Biden administration taxes in the United States, where a lot of our revenue is generated. And as I mentioned before, we continue to pay dividends. We grew that at 5.2%, which I think is a good sign of the financial stability of this company going forward. So the administrative expenses, we wanted to show you what the impact was last year or from last year. And we've broken it down into two major categories. One is obviously additional staff, salaries, and one-off FDB costs that we've incurred in launching the new product. And the other big movement, obviously, is in the foreign exchange losses that we've incurred in the year. If we come to the 1.2 million, the additional staff and salaries, we paid a bonus this year, which we didn't last year as a comparative. And we also wanted to increase our salaries for our staff because the retention of staff is important in this industry that we work in, and the environment is getting more competitive, and hence the increases there. The run rate will continue into FY22. We'll come to what the additional cost for FDP is going to be when Bill comes to his section. And the other big movement, obviously, is the delta between last year's credit of 362,000 on the foreign exchange and obviously the 746 that we've incurred this year. Just to give you some idea, of our revenues, 87% are outside the United Kingdom, of which 73% of the full revenues are in the United States. And as the pound appreciated and took quite a few companies by surprise, we did incur these losses. We're not currency speculators. We have put in some vanilla products into FY22, and we'll continue to do that and manage that as best we can. But we are beholden to an element of foreign exchange risk as the contracts fall, depending on when the contracts fall with our bigger clients in the United States. But we are glad to have big contracts with the financial services of the United States because they are big spenders. And we will look to mitigate as best we can going forward. Next slide is obviously another graphic illustration. I think on this one, the key one here is obviously the revenue on a constant currency basis growing by 8.3% on a like-for-like basis. And cash generation, as we mentioned. The group does generate cash, and that's good news. And although we are investing, and we have some financial investing activities that I'll explain later, we are continuing to manage our cash in a prudent way. And our clients are blue-chip companies that pay really well. And what we've done also, we've taken a policy of making sure that we pay our suppliers on time to deepen and strengthen our relationships with them as well. Another metric that we're using is increasing total assets. They've increased by 7.7% to gross assets of 41.9 million, and our retained profits have also increased by 9.3% to in excess of 20 million, giving us further capabilities of paying dividends in the future. If you look, turn over the next page, strong financial position, as we said. We have a very clean balance sheet. We're one of the few tech companies, I think, that we don't capitalize the majority of our development costs. I think we mentioned in June 15 RNS that we expended 1.5 million on FDP over the last 18 to 24 months, and we continue to take a prudent approach to our development capitalization strategy and plans. Trade receivables were higher than last year. That was just because there was a timing payment on one of our larger credit trade balances, which was paid on the 4th or 5th of April rather than on the 31st of March, and most of the 10 million has unwound since then. Retained earnings, as I've mentioned, have continued to grow, and we have not taken any debt on, and we have not taken any loans or benefits or schemes from the government regarding the pandemic. We're debt-free, and we are cash-rich. Next page, again, showing you the cash flow statement. As I mentioned to you, that you know we had a good tax refund this year because we of our QIPS payments last year and the quarterly payments, and also the claims that we made regarding R&D and patent box claims. Financing costs reflect the net purchase of shares that we took in this year. Went into the market and bought a significant amount of shares of our during the year compared to last year when share options were exercised, and we got a significant income into the company. And as I mentioned previously, cash generation from operating activities has increased by 37% to 3.3 million. So the overall, we're in a really good position. We continue to believe that the innovation is core to us, and our ability to generate cash means that we can internally invest in our products rather than borrowing money to do so or using other schemes to get money into the company. We've launched 9.2, 9.3. We've launched 9.4 after the year end, and as Bill will come to explain, we've launched a new product. The key metrics again for us is continued predictable revenues as best we can, long-term contracts, moving to ARR, high quality revenues, increase our margins, continue to have strong cash flow generation, increase shareholder value, and maintain our international footprint.
Thank you, Nitzel. I'll ask Bill to take on the next section.
Happy to do so. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Bruno, Deputy CEO, and we'll start on page 18. As Nitzel just alluded to in the wrap-up there around innovation, what you're going to see on this slide is the innovation coming from D4T4. This is the Solvers family of products that accounts for 81% of our revenues in this past financial year, and that's made up of our Solvers customer data platform, our Solvers customer data management division, as well as our newly released, as of 2 weeks ago, our Solvers fraud data platform. And the innovation has happened actually in all three of these categories. In the customer data platform, as Pete alluded to, we've launched Profile Builder and Identity Graph capabilities, which is a core and large gap in the industry today that we've chosen to fill with our unique capabilities and patented product and pedigree of capturing incredibly detailed individual data in a 100% compliant manner for marketing and CX purposes. In our customer data management division, where we're all about bringing software and IP to the market to help organizations build the data environments that they need to ultimately allow the analysts to do their job and to get value from that data, we've put further protection into the market around that, specifically in a mass file deletion alert software. If you think about all of the data that organizations are capturing, managing, maintaining, and trying to analyze, if an analyst accidentally deletes data, that could be a massive issue for the business, particularly in the privacy and compliance world we live in today. And so putting those further protections into our partners and clients in that side of the business has been massively impactful and adds quite a bit of value. And then last but not least, with the fraud data platform, we saw an opportunity to invest in and to bring a new solution to the market built upon the pedigree of the Solvers customer data platform, specifically focused on catching the fraudster before the fraud, and I'll come on to some of that and the areas of opportunity that we see in the business today. On page 19, you'll see a little bit here about our strategic direction. You've heard from Pete and Nitzel on much of this. I think the important things to call out on this slide is that we continue to expand and invest in our sales reach by our partnerships, and also by international expansion, as Pete alluded to, with opening of our business in Australia to support Asia-Pac. We continue to invest in growth, and I'll come on to some of those investments and where we're going to market, but simply put, from our perspective, there's a massive opportunity in the industry across the customer data platform and fraud data platform spaces, and we intend on going loud. We've signed a PR partner in the U.S. to help manage our messaging. We've relaunched the brand. You're seeing some of that color scheme now on the slides that you have in front of you. and we continue to increase our direct sales capability in addition to expanding our partner relationships to bring these products to market and to capitalize on the opportunities in the industry that I'll come on to here shortly. And finally, we're introducing a new KPI. It's annual recurring revenue for the fraud data platform. Our intent is in bringing this product to the market is to have all of the deals that we close in that division to be purely delivered on an ARR basis to continue to deliver upon our strategic direction that Pete outlined early on. Jumping to page 20, you'll get a bit of a view into the opportunity. The reason that we chose to invest in ourselves and to ultimately bring the fraud data platform to the market is because there's a massive need in the industry to have more real-time data, to have depth of data at an individual level, and ultimately be able to make that data available in real time in the moment because of how quickly fraud happens around the globe. Obviously, as Nitza alluded to, it's a challenging year around the globe for everyone with the pandemic, but behind that is fraud, especially from a digital perspective, increasing around the globe. And that market represents about $18 billion per annum today and growing in 12 to 13% year on year through 2025 from area analyst projections. In addition, customer experience, particularly in the digital world across websites, mobile apps, and other devices, has never been more important. And financial services, insurance, healthcare, the telco, all the industries that we operate within from a customer data platform perspective have seen digital transformation speed up as a result of the pandemic and as a result of the lack of face-to-face interactions that many of us desperately wanted to have as we waited to sort of ride that out. On page 21, talk to you just a little bit about the fraud data platform. So as we looked at the market, we made a decision that the best way to invest our money was to build and expand upon our own product set. And from our perspective, that was about a $1.5 million investment in launching the fraud data platform. The vast majority of that was expensed in prior years. And from a launch perspective, as part of the Go Loud campaign, we expect to incur about a $1.4 million expenditure in fiscal year 22, and roughly about a $1 to $1.1 million expenditure in FY23 to continue to focus on getting the right people in place around the globe, continued investment in building the FDP, the partnerships, and everything that goes with that to make it a success. And from our perspective, as we look at the market, one key point to make here is that when we launched the fraud data platform about 2 weeks ago, it's market ready, it's battle tested, and it works. And it's focused on three core use cases that we'll come on to as I dig into the value, specifically around new account creation, account takeover fraud, and payment fraud. And I think the best thing that I can comment on here, whether it's with the partners that we announced on launch in Quantexa and SAS and Teradata, and also several other partnership discussions that are ongoing behind the scenes, is that every individual and every potential partner that sees what we've brought to the market recognizes that it closes a massive gap in the industry and are extremely positive about the value that our data can bring to their platforms and their services as a result of the pedigree that we bring to market. So ultimately then, let's jump into some of the challenges in the industry. You've heard us talk about the opportunity. You've heard us talk about, even in recent releases, Pete refers to the perfect storm that we're seeing in the industry today. So we thought it'd be good to share a little bit of detail around that for you. So on slide 23, you'll see actually a snapshot of a study that we, in partnership with Teradata, commissioned Forrester Consulting to do. And at the end of the day, what this slide is basically telling you is that organizations are struggling massively with digital, whether that's capturing customer data, whether that's making sense of that data, or when it comes to trying to sort of tie together all of the different potential touch points that you can have with a brand. I mean, think of all of your devices, your iPads, your phones, your laptops, your work computers, so on and so forth. Each one of those is a channel that you can be interacting with a brand. And what this study is telling you is that organizations are having a very difficult time consolidating that customer view and making sense of that data and actually doing something with it. When you jump into to page 24, some of the challenges kind of jump off the page at you. And these challenges, I should mention, are all challenges that our customer data platform and fraud data platform solve for out of the box for our customers. The top three challenges on this page are all focused around real time, which should make sense in the context of the last slide, because if you're struggling with the data in the first place, then you're definitely going to struggle with activating that data in real time across the business. The next one is the other call out I'd like to make, and that's around privacy and security and complying with regulatory requirements. At D4T4, we operate in 27 different countries around the globe. We've built control capabilities into our platforms to ensure that our clients can be 100% confident that they're capturing 100% compliant data. But as you look at the industry, it's a massive challenge. They're struggling with data. They're struggling with the consumer and the individual level data. They're struggling with real-time activation, and they're worried about security and compliance, all of which play into our Celebrus family of products. We unpack identity a little bit further on page 25. There's been a lot of, it's probably the most talked about topic in the CX space in the last 12 to 18 months, largely because of organizations like Apple putting their intelligent tracking prevention into the market, browsers such as Safari and Firefox blocking third-party cookies. And what this means is that third-party solutions that exist outside of an organization's infrastructure are under fire and are not able to be trusted with managing identity and compliance of an individual from a data capture perspective. We're pleased that our solutions are well poised here and are not impacted by any of the challenges to identity in the space, because both our customer data platform and fraud data platform are true first-party solutions that are embedded in a client's digital infrastructure. And as a result, because of the patented technologies we've brought to the market, they face zero impact and provide the gold standard for managing identity in a 100% compliant way across all digital touchpoints. And when you look at compliance on slide 26, the key point here is that it's changing every day. Here in the States, it's even more complicated because it's at the state level. We have 13 different states making 13 different decisions for how to manage data about the inhabitants of those particular states. But at the end of the day, there's one key point to bring to light. Obviously, most of what you see across this map on this page was actually built off of the back of GDPR. And within GDPR and all of this other legislation, there's a carve-out for risk and fraud. It's referred to as legitimate interest. And the reason that I bring that up is for marketing data, and the CDP lives in that world, you have to adhere to the consent of the consumer. If someone opts in or opts out, you know, that determines what you can and cannot capture about that individual's journey across digital. For the fraud data platform, it operates from a legitimate interest basis. And what that means is that the fraud platform is able to capture data regardless of consent. And we keep that data completely separate from any marketing or business data. And it's purely focused on fraud detection and prevention. And jumping to page 27, just to give you a view of what we've recapped and the opportunity, is that we know organizations are struggling with data. We know they're struggling with real time. And we know that they're struggling with compliance. The entire reason for capturing data is to do something with it. And when you think of things like moments-based marketing for consumers and trying to build that one-to-one personalized experience, it needs to be individual, so you have to be able to solve for identity in a meaningful way, like we're able to do. It has to be real-time. Both of our platforms provide data in milliseconds, not minutes. And it needs to be predictive. And to be predictive, you have to have a complete data set. There is not another platform in the industry that captures the depth and density of data that we do about all digital interactions across all channels. And that's the opportunity for us as an organization. When you look in the fraud world on page 28, the issue with fraud is not just that it's growing. It's actually also that only about 25% of all losses are actually recovered on average. And that's a stunning number when you think of the billions of dollars at risk to digital fraud around the globe in a given year. The other challenge is that it happens extremely quickly. in minutes or hours, not weeks. And so organizations need a data set that not only is able to identify early on whether a transaction or a behavior is suspicious and needs to be intervened upon, but you also have to have a depth of data such that you don't provide a negative customer experience. I'll use the case in point of when I'm in London buying a coffee on my way into the office. If that transaction is blocked because the bank thinks that it's a fraudulent transaction, I'm not going to be that happy to have to deal with that. And so the customer experience being so critical and the lack of real-time data, the lack of personally identifiable information and behavioral biometrics about those individuals is what framed up the opportunity for our Celebrus Fraud Data Platform. So we provide the individual data, we provide the profile, we provide the behaviors, and we provide the real-time scorecarding to allow for organizations to better catch the fraudster before the fraud and ultimately protect themselves as well as their consumers. On page 29, you'll see a diagram of our identity graph. And this identity graph is actually powering much of what we do in real time, both in the customer data platform as well as the fraud data platform. I think the comment that I'll make here is that it is the industry's only first-party identity graph. It's fully owned and controlled by the customers who choose to deploy Celebrus, and it allows customers not only to solve that challenge that Forrester outlined of being able to capture data at an individual level, but it also automatically stitches together all of the sessions that you're having across any of the devices that you may own. And so when you think about all of those Forrester challenges, the Celebrus customer data platform and fraud data platform offer a solution in the market to each one of those. Going to slide 30, you'll see a breakdown of just sort of the first party nature of our Celebrus family of products. Again, being a first party solution embedded within the digital architecture and providing the most diverse amount of options for getting data into other systems, to Pete's point early on. You know, our data powers not only the CX decisions, but fraud detection and fraud management, marketing, advertising, so on and so forth, and does that managing compliance at a core level and ensuring that organizations don't face the challenges that Forrester outlined. And finally, on slide 31, you'll just get a view of what we mean about the fraud data platform and the type of data that we're bringing together in real time across our behavioral biometrics and analytics, but also our data model and real-time indicators. The core thing to keep in mind about fraud management is that there's sort of four things that organizations are obviously trying to do. One is to lessen the amount of loss, which is a bit of a no-brainer. The second, though, is to lower the number of false positives, right, to balance the customer experience, as I mentioned before. And to do that, you need to have the right level of data available in the moment. The other piece, though, is efficiency and evolution. And by efficiency, I mean being able to speed up the process by getting the right data to the right places in the right format and at the right time. The second of evolution is the minute if something's been written about in an article in the fraud space, the fraudsters themselves have already started to evolve. And that evolution is going to create new threats. So we've brought to market a platform that not only solves on the initial launch for new account takeover and payment fraud, but also provides a framework that organizations can use to identify evolving threats as well and get out in front of those. And so just as some final thoughts from an outlook perspective on page 32 before we open the floor to questions, you know, hopefully what you've seen across the presentation today and in the results that we launched this morning, you know, our focus continues to pay off, and we continue to show significant progress in our transition to ARR, and we'll build upon that even further with providing and focusing on ARR for the fraud data platform for all of the deals that we bring to market. We continue to lead in the technology segment. The innovation that we've brought out just in this past year alone far surpasses anything that any of our competitors have done. We continue to expand geographically to continue to capitalize on the opportunities around the globe, both on the customer experience side as well as the fraud management side. And the tailwinds that we've built and the momentum that we've put in with the launch of much of the technology innovation I just walked through has allowed us to enter this current financial year with quite a bit of momentum. And from that perspective, we honestly couldn't be more excited. And with that, Pete, I'll throw that back to you, if you don't mind, to speak through some of the board changes as well, and then we can open things up to questions.
Yeah, sure. So thanks, Bill. Yeah, so I think the final item in there really is that we're creating a new group operations board, which will sit below the main D4T4 executive board. And really, it will allow them, the guys that are currently on the board and a growing senior management team, to really focus on the execution and delivery of the group strategy, whilst at the same time giving us a leaner executive function on the main board. I'm sure you appreciate that City Matters, shareholder, corporate are taking more and more of the time that the boards have to execute what they're doing. And really, we've made that decision in line with many other companies to make that change. And thank you very much indeed for your time. I really appreciate it. And if you do think of any other questions, please feel free to reach out to us or to Instinctive.